and literally the family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Tuesday, March 24th, 2015. I'm opening a meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government, and I'm opening a hearing on House Bill 5038, Oregon Board of Tax Practitioners.
Yes. Madam Co-Chair and members of the committee, the Oregon Board of Tax Practitioners on House Bill 5038, which is the agency's budget bill, requests other fund limitation in the amount of $1,243,084 with four positions, four FTE, and this reflects a 5% increase from the 2013-15 legislatively approved budget. And we have up first Kelly Gableeks, who is the interim director for the agency here today.
Good afternoon. My name is Kelly Gableeks, and I'm the Interim Executive Director of the Board of Tax Practitioners. I've held this position for about a little over a month, so I'm asking you please be gentle.
We're nice. We don't bite.
Thank you. Yeah. If I could, I have with me Jan Salisbury. She's the immediate past chair of the board. And I brought her along as I later on in my PowerPoint I'll be talking about the partnerships that we've developed, and she was asked to testify before the U.S. Senate Committee on Finance, and so I thought I would bring her along if you had any questions. And then to the right of her left.
The other
is Joe
right.
Lovato, and he is our current chair.
Thank you.
We think this is a very straightforward budget. We have no policy packages. We have no capital projects. We have no fee increases. And so we're hoping that this will be nice and easy today. Paige.
No argument from me.
Our mission is that we protect consumers by ensuring that Oregon tax professionals are competent and ethical in their professional activities. Oregon is the recognized national leader in licensing tax practitioners. We have licensed tax practitioners since 1973, and at currently only Oregon is the only state that licenses tax practitioners with a testing requirement. Maryland also licenses tax practitioners, and they are going to add a testing requirement. California has a registration program, and New York has a registration program. But Oregon is definitely recognized as the leader, even by the IRS. And the IRS has developed a volunteer national certification program, but they came to Oregon when they were getting ready to set up that program and asked to look at our information and how we set up the program because they were interested in the good results that we had achieved.
Could I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Certified public accountants are often people who prepare taxes.
Yes.
Not all tax practitioners are CPAs, but many CPAs are tax practitioners. It's a Venn diagram, essentially, right?
Correct.
So if someone's certified by the Board of Accountancy, are they automatically certified to be a tax practitioner, or they have to be dual certified by the Board of Tax Practitioners as well?
They are exempt from licensure requirements, so they are allowed to practice. They are allowed to prepare tax returns without being licensed.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Good question.
But several CPAs also have satisfied the licensure requirements and are a CPA and a licensed tax consultant.
But that's by choice.
That's by choice.
But CPAs who are certified by the Board of Accountancy and by whatever other standards the industry has are automatically considered qualified and do not have to be licensed unless they so choose by the
Correct.
Board of Tax Practitioners. Thank you for clarifying.
Our board membership is we have 6 licensed tax consultants, and we have 1 public member. We do have a vacancy right now, but we're constantly looking on outreach to make sure that we have a diverse board. And all of our licensed tax consultants that serve on the board have to have at least 5 years of experience. So it's an experienced group, as are the 2 people behind me, to my left.
To my right.
Representative Hurd, do not confuse the witnesses. You are not helping, Representative.
We're lean and mean. We're only 4 positions. We have an executive director. We have an exam and education coordinator, a licensing specialist, and a compliance specialist. We have had some turnover. As I said, I'm the interim. We are currently hiring the new executive director. The recruitment has closed. We have some excellent candidates, and we are going to begin the interview process next week. So hopefully that they will have a permanent executive director shortly. It will not be me. We issue 2 types of licenses. We have the licensed tax preparer. That's kind of the apprentice position. They need to complete the 8-hour course. They have to pass an exam. And then when they're new, when they have less than 240 hours of experience, they have to have immediate supervision by a consultant. After they've been practicing and have obtained at least 1,100 hours of experience, and they've completed 15 hours of continuing education credit, and they pass a test, then they can become the consultant, and they can be out and practice on their own. Enrolled agents are also eligible to be licensed as tax consultants in Oregon. They also have a small experience requirement of 360 hours, and they only have to pass the state-only portion of the exam. We also register all tax preparation businesses, so they have to register with us. They have to have both their main office and all their branches, and for many of these businesses, we're talking about H&R Block, Jackson Hewitt, and Liberty Tax Service, but we're also talking about the mom and pop sole practitioners. They all are required to register with us.
So I'm going to display my lack of knowledge about
sure.
business licensure. The Secretary of State Corporations Division licenses businesses.
Correct.
So does a business that's a tax preparation business have to be licensed first by the Secretary of State Corporations Division and then by the Tax Preparation?
If I said license, I'm sorry, they register with
us.
And part of the registration process is to prove that they are licensed with the Secretary of State's office.
Thank you. And a quick follow-up
on that.
So the Secretary of State's office has been doing a really good job with the Corporations Division in facilitating the licensure. It's all online now, mm-hmm. especially renewals are very quick. The whole process is very speedy. And they've done some things where they link in with different cities. So if you want to open another branch of your business, do that. Do they have any external links? Do you know offhand, does your office link with the Secretary of State's Corporations Division at all?
Sadly, no. Right now, we're still all paper. That's one of and so we're in the process. We have been working with DAS and a contractor, and it is our goal during this next biennium to bring everything online.
Okay, well, I would hope, and I don't know if the Secretary of State, the Secretary of State's office has no reason to be listening to this, but I would hope that as you guys go online and that they continue to expand, it would be really nice for a business that has to be registered with a different agency to be able to do that without having to go to an entirely separate website.
Correct.
In terms of facility, because that I'm pretty well guaranteed that tax preparation is not the only business that has to register separately with a different agency rather than just corporations. So I'm just going to put that out there in the general universe. And I'll mention it to the Secretary of State's office as well. But anything we can do to make things easier for our small business without reducing consumer protection is a good thing in my book.
And so, we agree with that,
Madam
Co-Chair. And a business can be owned by a non-licensee. But then there are other requirements, to, again, for the consumer protection portion of this, where you'd have to have a designated consultant, a person who is a licensed tax consultant, who is supervising and ultimately responsible for any of the product that is prepared by that business. The board's program priorities are the annual licensing. As I said, we are in the process of working with DAS and NIC USA to allow online registration. We're hoping the license tax preparers renew in September, and we're hoping to get that application renewal process online by September. That's our goal, and then get the business registration and the consultant renewal online by the end of the biennium.
Finish your sentence, and then Senator Johnson, you don't have to.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. Go ahead.
Continuing education requirements.
Oh, okay, if you're going to start something new, then I'm going to let Senator Johnson answer.
You said something that troubles me, and I want to raise this. I hope somebody at DAS is listening as well. You said you were working with NIC USA.
Correct.
I am very concerned. I don't know the details, but I've heard enough to concern me about the nature of that contract. And I would be quite interested in knowing, when you say you're working with NIC USA, I don't know if you're going through DAS's master contract, if you're going to have a separate contract. What worries me is that NIC USA may have a base contract, and then any ups and extras come on a time and materials basis. Time and materials is what dug the endless hole of problems for us with Cover Oregon. And I would be quite concerned to know exactly what are the details of your working with NIC USA. I don't want to find out that they've gotten their hooks in the state of Oregon somehow, and then every up and extra outside of the master contract has some special piece to it. So I would like somebody at DAS to help me understand what the sideboards are on that, and I would admonish you to be quite cautious in what you're working with NIC USA looks like.
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward and Senator Johnson, I do believe we're working through the master contract. I know that much, and quite frankly, I'm not sure about all the specifics of that contract. I'm happy to get that information for you if you would like me to.
I absolutely would, because any agency right now that does not know the specifics of the contract that they're entering into for an IT project, I think is in dreadful peril.
If you could just have that sent to Ms. McDowell so she can get it to the committee members. And thank you, Senator, for bringing that up. Thanks.
Let's see. Then the other priorities is our continuing education requirements. Both tax consultants and tax preparers are required to do at least 30 continuing education hours a year. And we audit a percentage of them every year to ensure that, in fact, all of those continuing education requirements are met. We also give examinations. Both the consultants and the preparers are required to pass an examination. We have proctor sites around the of Oregon so that there are no barriers to people who want to enter into this profession. And then we also have board-administered exams so that they can come to us and we can provide those that examination opportunity as well. And finally, the last thing, which certainly is not last but not least, is compliance. And we take that very seriously. What I've listed here is kind of the main compliance problems that we've seen over the last few years. And probably the one that causes us the most concern is unlicensed activity, because those people have taken no tests, they've taken no courses, we don't know what kind of continuing education that they have, and so the board tries to act very quickly to stop that unlicensed activity. We've issued cease and desist, and we've turned them over for criminal prosecution with the Department of Justice, and so we take unlicensed activity very seriously.
Senator Woodson.
Madam Chair, thank you.
Representative Nathanson.
Is your compliance effort are your compliance efforts complaint driven, or do you just go out and hunt on your own? I mean, is it certainly your practitioner should be licensed, but if nobody's complaining about their activity, then I'm not sure you should be out, go out there searching for them. You probably should be out searching for wrongdoers. So, I mean, my point is it complaint driven, or do you do it on your own?
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward and Senator Whitsitt, it's both. We receive complaints and we investigate those, and we also go out and do random spot checks. In fact, the investigator just came back from one that she did yesterday. She did Northeast Portland, Malala, Woodburn, kind of a little loop. And so we just do random checks. We rerun a search. We pull up licensees. We pull up businesses. She goes to the businesses. It's not just for we're trying to find that they're doing something wrong, but you put a face to a name. They are meeting someone from the board. We can answer any questions they might have, provide them with information. And so it serves a dual purpose. In the one that she just did yesterday, she did find some areas of concern that we believe merit additional consideration. But for the majority of the people that she visited, they had their license, were properly displayed, everyone was properly licensed. They had their, you couldn't see returns on a desk. They were really operating their business and their profession in a very professional way.
Representative Nathanson. Thank you. You had a follow-up, Senator. Okay, good. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry that I don't have my computer with me to follow along the presentation and maybe to go ahead a little bit. You may already have information to cover this. I would be interested to know of the compliance problems you're seeing, what percent are unlicensed activity versus issues of return of records or advertising? In other words, is there something that stands out because it happens so often, or does it stand out because the consequences of that problem are pretty awful?
You know, I don't think I broke it down by number of complaints, but I would say it is a majority of the complaints that we, I don't know if I would say a majority, but a majority of the seven main categories, the majority would be unlicensed activity. Because a lot of Oregon is unique in that we do require licensure. People that come to the state, sometimes it's an honest error. They don't realize it, but a lot of people are not aware that you have to be licensed in Oregon to prepare tax returns.
Thank you.
Thank you.
These are the key budget driver issues that we see. We are 100% self-funded. Our last fee increase was in 2008. Unfortunately, costs do continue to rise, personnel costs, legal costs, and administrative costs. I do have some statistics for you, Representative Nathanson. We do have, we give over 100, about over 800 exams every year. Kind of that's the average over the last 5 years, and we average almost 500 licenses and over 1,600 business and branch registrations.
Can you hold on 1 second? Senator Whitsitt has a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's
Thank you
fine.
Very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you receive your state government services from DAS?
Yes, we do.
Has there been a significant change in the state government service charges from DAS and the city from 1315 to 1517 to 1719?
Yes, there has. We estimate 65% increase.
Can you get us the? Can you make those figures available to our staff, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
To the committee's knowledge, I've been speaking with Mr. Borden about our, just as an aside, about our phase two hearings, and one of the things we will be discussing in even more depth is the DAS assessment system and the charges that they are doing for services, because this is a recurring issue. And although DAS did address it at some level in phase one, I don't think they did it in the depth that this committee found acceptable. So we will be going into this in more depth at that point. Yeah. If other committee, as an aside, I apologize for taking your time, but if there are other things committee members specifically want addressed in phase two, please let me know right away. Co-Chair Smith has kindly said that I can sort of work with Mr. Borden on this one. You can let him know too, but I'm the one who's doing this most of the scheduling. So please let me know if you have other things you want addressed.
Can I have just a short follow-up?
Sure.
Do you have that was 65% for this biennium. Did you get a little card saying how much the next biennium might be?
To the best of my knowledge, no.
You will.
Thank you. Oh, dear. Senator Johnson.
I'd like to flag that NIC USA contract.
Sure. Okay. Absolutely. We can have DAS talk with us about that. Thank you, Senator. Okay. Thank you for your patience. Keep it's all yours again.
Oh, no problem. I would like to point out, because of the economy, the exams, the licenses, and the registrations are down over the last 5 years, but we're just starting to see a recovery. And so we correspondingly, we had a few less complaints, but now that we're starting to see a recovery, that's going to unfortunately start to arise again as well. We average over 150 complaints a year. As I said earlier, we are currently working to develop an online registration system, and our goal is to be able to do the LTPs by September of this year and then get everything else in place before the next biennium. On our key performance measures, the board is in the process of reevaluating our key performance measures. They were just in the process when the previous executive director left. And so we're hoping that their evaluation of those key performance measures will be completed by the new executive director when he or she is selected. But we have met all of our key performance of our KPMs and our best practices. One of the things that we're very proud of is the partnerships that we've been able to build. Probably one of our key partnerships is with the Department of Revenue, and SB 690 that was passed by this legislature in 2009 allowed the board to get full copies of personal tax returns. That's been very useful to us as we go forward and investigate various complaints. Our office is locked. We keep tax returns locked up, and all staff and anyone who touches those at all are required to sign secrecy certificates to make sure that that information is held very tightly.
Let me ask you a quick question about that. One would imagine that as tax codes change, certain areas of confusion probably become more prevalent. You have continuing education requirements. In addition to using those returns to deal with fraudulent or unlicensed activity, do you ever look at patterns, or do you work with DOR to identify patterns where tax preparation is with good intention, not through desire to defraud or do something illegal, but just confusion? Are you ever able to flag areas where there's a consistent miss in the preparation process? Was that question at all clear?
Yes, it was.
Okay, good.
Yes. Co-Chair Steiner Hayward. If we see it rise to the level of negligence, then we've had dialogue with DOR where they should know, but they don't. And one of the ways we're able to test for that is the way that the exam writing committee, if there's an area that they continue to see where people are having problems, that they try to write an exam question so that they realize that if something has changed. I'm not a tax preparer, but if something has maybe changed where you can deduct something and you can't deduct something, it's something they should know, then they try that the exam writing committee tries to write a question to get at that information.
Okay. I'd maybe like to talk with you a little bit more about that at some point, because I do think this is an opportunity for some education on an ongoing basis and not just with exams, but that may not be possible. Did you want to comment on that?
And I'd be happy to refer to my two board members.
Just introduce yourself for the record, please.
Yes, I'm Janice Salisbury from Oregon City. Senator Hayward, I think those patterns that you're thinking about are more aptly found through Department of Revenue with their percentages and patterns that they can look at.
I guess my question then is, does DOR communicate that to you all?
They can in certain cases, depending upon how severe the circumstances are.
Okay, let's circle with Mr. Borden about that, if we could,
Krista. And Senator Whitsitt?
Thank you. Would you refresh our memory a little on Senate Bill 690? Whose tax returns do your members have access to, and does that require the client permission?
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward and Senator Whitsitt, it does not require their permission. We have access to any Oregonian's tax returns, but what has to happen, we just can't willy-nilly ask for somebody's tax returns. I know that's probably not a term of art, but if we're in the middle of a serious compliance issue, and let's say we believe we have someone who is using an old Board of Tax Practitioner license number, we are able to communicate with DOR and we say, Susie Smith, we believe she's using this incorrect identification number, could you run a search? And they're able to run a search through their database and see the tax identification, the Board of Tax Practitioner number that's attached. And then we're allowed, when we go somewhere down the road and we need those tax returns, then they are allowed to provide them to us. There has to be, the only way we're allowed to get returns is there has to be a compliance-based reason to request those returns.
And what do you do with those returns once you have determined what you wanted to know?
Senator Steiner Hayward and Senator Whitsitt, we keep them for as long as we're required to. Let's say we have to go to a contested case hearing, and so we're required to keep them. We keep them locked up at all times. Our office, all of our files are in locked files. Our office is locked. If no one's in our office, everything is locked. So we give them a lot of scrutiny and make sure no one has access to that. To them. In fact, when we have a hearing with the Office of Administrative Hearings, we require everyone at the Office of Administrative Hearings who's going to touch that file, they too have to sign secrecy certificates so that we completely close the loop so that only people that have signed the certificates have access to them, and that they will return all that information to us, and then we will archive it until we're required to destroy it.
One follow-up.
Yeah, and then I have one on the follow-up, too. So
are any of those tax returns ever transmitted electronically, and do you have a file of them on an electronic file?
Senator Steiner Hayward and Senator Whitsitt, to the best of my knowledge, they're never given to us electronically. That we get a paper copy.
Thank you.
So hearing about the Office of Administrative Hearings makes me wonder, are those records subject to Freedom of Information Act requests?
Senator Steiner Hayward, no, they are not. They are confidential. In fact, when you prepare the documents to go to OAH, we have a specific section when we I'm sorry, I used to be an attorney with the Department of Justice.
No, that works. Keep going.
And I represented this board. When we prepare for a hearing and we provide a list of the documents that we're going to send to the Office of Administrative Hearings, we separate out all the documents that are confidential so that we make and our hearings are closed to the public so that the information, so the public does not have access to that information. And so if they did receive a public records request, all of that information would be redacted out of that request.
Thank you.
So not only are we able to get the tax returns, but they do notify us if they see something unusual. We just received information from DOR last week where they were talking to someone who they had audited, and they said that a taxpayer had said they were audited. An audited taxpayer said that their
return was prepared by someone else. That person was not on our database, and so we're going to investigate that as a possible unlicensed activity. We also have, and we're proud to say, we have a good reputation and a good relationship with the IRS. They do recognize our status as a leader in this area. And in fact, IRS has developed a annual filing season program certification, and our licensees, because of the level of scrutiny they have when they apply for their P10s, personal tax identification number, that's all they have to do with the IRS. They do not have to take the IRS exam for them to receive that certification. They also, in recognition of our leadership, I just had a call last week from the IRS. Illinois is considering licensing tax preparers. They put together a task force, and the IRS asked if they could put Illinois in contact with us so that we could provide information to them as they consider this. The board was asked to make a presentation to the U.S. Senate Finance Committee, and that's why I have Ms. Salisbury here. She was the one that provided that presentation. And as I said earlier, our information has been used by the IRS to set up their program. We've also developed a good relationship with the U.S. Department of Justice, so when they are pursuing federal prosecution against people for preparing taxes without a license or fraud in tax preparation, they have been notifying us so that to the extent that they are in violation of our laws, we can pursue them as well. And finally, the Department of Justice has been a very important colleague to the extent that they receive complaints in their consumer protection section or criminal justice. They forward that over to us for us to do an investigation. And several times where we've had one example that I can think of, unlicensed activity, we pursued the unlicensed activity, and they also pursued the criminal prosecution as well. And I believe that's it.
Sure. Yeah, Senator Johnson.
So do those federal agencies allow you to share information about specific individuals across the state-federal divide?
Senator Sinus Hayward and Senator Johnson, we share general information. I've never given USDOJ, for example, an income tax return. To the extent that we have pursued someone, let's say we have a final order where we've taken action against someone, final orders are public information, and so I've shared that with them. I've shared with them notices, if we're notice of intent, and they've shared with us in criminal indictments, and so that's pretty much the level of information that we're able to share. We're erring on the side of only providing public information.
Okay, thank you.
And I'd be happy to answer any other questions. As I said, I brought my immediate past chair and my current chair, and so if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Other questions? Senator Johnson.
For your two chairs, seeing that bill up there that sunsets boards and commissions, that's something that I've taken an interest in. I think Oregon has a long tradition of inviting good Oregon volunteers to sit in on boards and commissions at all levels of state government. The problem is that we've got such a proliferation of them, as many as 2,700 people. And I'm kind of curious, when you assumed the position on the board, what level of training did you get as far as conduct of meetings, as far as your behavior about issuing press releases about the agency? What was your indoctrination when you became members of the board?
Okay. Senator Johnson, Senator Hayward. I came on several years ago, and at that time they were doing a one-day training session that we were required to attend. It was very interesting. I've been involved with nonprofit organizations for years, and so you always learn something new, and it was very interesting. It gave the government side of how to do things, and so I used that when I was on the board.
Did you find it adequate for the task before you? Now that you have the benefit of hindsight?
I did. I had been a participant, not a participant in the board, but a participant in their meetings through the years, so I was very familiar as to how they conducted business. It's a very small network of people, so it happens to be a board that you would be familiar with. The larger boards, I couldn't speak to.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go testify. I'm not leaving because of your answer.
Okay, other questions?
All right, we're up.
All right, yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, Mr. Miller.
Co-Chair Senator Hayward, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Travis Miller with the Chief Financial Office, and I'm here to present the governance budget for the Board of Tax Practitioners. In terms of policy and funding issues, really this budget essentially maintains current operations, inflation, no change in FTE. Tying to the 10-year plan, we link it to the public safety outcome area in terms of trying to reduce instances of consumer fraud through licensing of tax preparers. Looking at the budget, we're looking at $1.2 million, again, for FTE. Assuming current revenues, we're looking at about 7 months of operations. And this, as stated before, is just over a just under a 5% increase from the 2013-15 LAB. That's it, unless you have any questions.
So actually, I do have a question. Ms. Gebbels, you mentioned that you know, costs are going up, which they are, and you all haven't had a fee increase since 2008. On the one hand, fiscal restraint is admirable. On the other hand, if you're feeling like you're significantly underfunded or are at risk of having an insufficient ending fund balance, which agencies are expected to have, especially those that are other funds supported, what's your plan?
Senator Snyder Hayward. We believe that we're fine for 15-17. We're actually charging our licensees $10 less than we were appropriated. We're trying to be fiscally prudent, and so at some point we may have to go back to the full amount that the legislature approved. But right now we're trying to be fiscally prudent.
Okay. Right, so you do have the bandwidth to go up under the legislatively approved fee schedule. Okay.
Yes, ma'am, we do.
Because I just don't want you guys left in the lurch between now and June 30th of 2017. And I will say that your counterparts, or sort of counterparts of the Board of Accountancy, worked very closely with their licensees over the interim and came in with a bill that was requested by the certified public accountants to raise their fees. And so if you find yourself in that position, I commend that model to your attention. It's much easier for the legislature to just say yes to a fee increase when it's the people who are actually being subject to the fee who ask for it. So it's easier for us to deal with that. Other questions? Thank you for an excellent presentation. Do the board chairs want to add anything else, past or present? Board chairs, would like to add anything else?
Go ahead, Joe.
Very quickly, one thing.
If you could just introduce yourself. Yeah, just make sure you're close enough. That's fine. You don't have to be super close. Just okay. Yeah, that's perfect.
I am Joe Lovato. Senator Hayward, you asked a minute ago about flow of information. When we identify something that might be just a trend, not a real legal issue or noncompliance, we are also partnered or work closely with the Oregon Society of Tax Practitioners, the Oregon Association of Tax Consultants, both are not practitioners. And ORSI, the Oregon
Society
of Enrolled Agents, to get the information out. We do try to share.
Great.
Because, again, we're here to protect the consumers.
So those organizations have newsletters or whatever that they send out to their members, and that's what. And does your board have a newsletter that you send out periodically? Most of the licensing boards do.
Madam Co-Chair, yes, we do have a newsletter, and that's we talk about compliance. We always try to have a compliance component to that, something that we're seeing. As I said, we just recently sent out our investigator to do random visits, and so she is going to be writing something up, some trends that she saw, so just to alert people to those issues to make sure it doesn't rise to the level that it would have to come under compliance.
Great. Okay. Anything else? Do we have any public testimony? No public testimony. Okay. Yes, you guys have been doing it. You want to offer some public testimony?
Yes.
Sure. Great. If you would just sign in on the sheet so we know who you are, and then we'll ask our official witnesses. Thank you all very, very much. And thanks to both of you for coming, Ms. Salisbury and Mr. Lovato, for coming. We really appreciate your taking the time both to serve in this capacity and to come in for the hearing today. It adds to the depth of the presentation. Come on down. We just like to keep everything official and have our witness sheets in order. Thank you. Mr. Hughes.
Madam Chairman, I'm sorry I didn't sign in.
It's quite all right. It's not that we don't know who you are, sir. We just want to play by the rules.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, but you know who I am.
I'm here today representing the Association of Oregon Independent Accountants and the...
And if you could just reintroduce yourself for the record, sir. Thank you
Ted
so much.
Ted Hughes.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Representing the Association of Independent Accountants and also the Enrolled Agents Association. Both of them like to support their regulatory agencies, and we're particularly proud, both of them, on the way this particular board functions. Keep in mind, they regulate probably most of small businesses done by this board, not the CPAs. I don't mean to put them down, but a little shot once in a while helps. But so their function is very important, and we'd like to say that they're very efficient, and we're proud to be regulated by them. It doesn't mean we don't have disagreements with them, because we do. But we've always been able to talk them out and get them solved and not bring them to these halls.
Always a better path.
Yes, it certainly is.
I'm very pleased that you're bringing that. Thank you, Mr. Hughes.
Thank you for allowing me to come up.
Absolutely. Any questions for Mr. Hughes? Thank you so much for taking the time to bring that perspective. We really appreciate it, because hearing from the licensees themselves or their representative really adds to make sure we're getting a full picture, and it's nice when everything coincides. All right. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 5038. Any other business before the committee today? If not, we're adjourned. 38. Any other business before the committee today?